This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the causes of su al-khatima, a bad ending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from a bad ending. The reason for su al-khatima, for bad ending, is dawf al-iman, that is the weakness of iman. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, one of the kings of Banu Umayyah, he came to Makkah and Medina, and he asked if anyone of the Tabi'in were there, somebody who has met the Sahaba. So they told him about the Tabi'i Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, he sent for him. He summoned him, and when he came, he asked him one question. He said, how is it that we dislike death? Abu Hazim radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, because you have built and established yourself in this world and you have destroyed your akhirah. So you hate to go from what you have established to what you have destroyed. The cause of this love of this world, the cause of this is love of the world. Now, when we say love of the world, we don't mean that, you know, we should not appreciate what we have. Alhamdulillah, whatever we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we are very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, and we should be grateful. Love of the world means that it's not a matter of gratitude. It means that you love it so much that you are willing to sacrifice your akhirah for this. Now, that is where the problem comes. When a person loves the dunya and doesn't want to leave it, and that person is close to death, it can happen that at that time this person realizes that he is going to leave all that he loves, and then he will start to hate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the reason for the ending of his so-called happiness in this life, and he might end up in Jahannam. When Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was passing away, and he, subhanAllah, he would have seen the malaika. So he said, welcome. He said, marhaba bikum. He said, my welcome to you. I have been waiting for you. And I have been waiting for the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On death, he's saying, ya malakul maut, don't think that I wanted to live in this dunya for the love of this world. I wanted to live only to fast in the hot summer days and to pray in the long, cold winter nights. Rasulullah ﷺ said that every prophet, before he dies, is shown his place in Jannah and is given the choice of staying in the dunya or to die. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, ya Rasulullah, she narrated that when Rasulullah ﷺ was dying, his head was in my lap, and then he fell unconscious. And when he regained consciousness, he was looking above, and then he said, Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la, Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la, Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la, again and again. And I knew that he was being shown his place in Jannah and was being given the choice, and that he was not choosing us. Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la were the last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a life that is in obedience to Him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us in a state when we are obedient to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us in this life and pleased with us in our death, and be pleased with us when we are resurrected and presented before Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, inshallah. This is my dua for all of you, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm going to talk to you now about the journey of the soul as Rasulullah ﷺ described it for us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the time of dying, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين In Surah Al-Baqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something like a challenge. Allah said, then why do they not intervene when the soul of a dying person reaches the throat and you at that moment are looking on, but we are nearer to him than you and you do not see. Then why do you not, if you are exempt from the reckoning and recompense, bring back the soul to its body? Tarjunaha in kuntum sadiq. If you are truthful, then if the dying person be of the muqarrabun, those who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is for him rest and provision and a garden of delights, which is Jannah. And if he, the dying person, be of those who are on the right hand, then there is safety and peace from the punishment of Allah for you as you are from those on the right hand. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving the good news and bashara of Jannah and forgiveness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of you and all of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the believing slave is leaving this world and is moving into al-akhirah, he is in what is called an ihtidar. An ihtidar is the time between life and death. And it's almost like the time between sleeping and being awake. A person in this state is called the al-muhtadar. He is waiting for, the one who is waiting, he is waiting for the angels. So angels descend upon him from heaven. Their faces are bright and shining like the sun. They have with them a shroud, a kafan from Jannah, and perfume from Jannah. This dying person will be able to see them. Then Malakul Maud descends, and he will sit by the head of the person, and he will say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O you pure soul, come out to the forgiveness of Allah and his pleasure. The soul will emerge as easily as a drop of water falling from a jug. The whole state of nada, the state of sakrat, the state of the pain of dying will be spared, and the pious person will be protected from this. As soon as Malakul Maut takes the soul, all the other angels take it and they pass it from hand to hand, and then they wrap it in the kafan from Jannah. And as they move up in the heavens with the soul, they pass a group of angels and they will smell the perfume and ask whose soul it is. And the angels carrying the soul will tell them that it is the soul of so and so, using the best names that this person was known by. They will refer to the person in great honorable terms. When they reach the gates of the first heaven, they will knock on the gates and the guards will ask who they are. They will say that they are angels bearing the soul of so and so, and they will use the best names for this person. And the gate will be opened and the soul is welcome. And the guard will say, you are welcome, you are awaited. And as the soul passes through that heaven, the angels of that heaven accompany the soul on its journey to honor it. And this happens from heaven to heaven to heaven. Eventually, the soul reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers his promise of Jannah, and then says, take him back to the earth, because I created him from it, and that is where he will return, and that is where he will be resurrected from. And the soul of the believer will then return to the earth with the honor of Allah. Now, put yourself in this place where you are watching somebody who is dying, and you are going through this whole thing, you are seeing them dying. And remember those ayat of Surah Al-Waqi'ah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the breath is stuck in the throat, you are watching and you cannot do anything. And if you think you are so powerful, then return the soul. Bring him back to life. He's not even dead yet. But you cannot do that. We know this, we cannot do that. And this whole journey which I described for you will happen while you are still there. The person has died just in that time. The soul comes out, the soul will see the friends and the relatives and the loved ones around the body. And they will see what they are doing. And that's why it's prohibited in Islam to loudly cry and weep and behave in an undignified manner, because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to take our souls in a state of where He is pleased with us, because when a believer is dying, this is the happiest moment of his life. Happiest moment of his life or her life, because this is the day that they have been waiting for. Like I mentioned to you what Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, this is true for all believers. This is the day that we have waited for. We worked for it, we waited for it. And that's the day we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no day of Eid which is happier than this. There is no other day in life that is happier and better and more blessed than the day when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the soul of the evil soul, the evildoer, the disbeliever, the kafir, the mushrik, the person who used to join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that person is leaving the dunya and approaching the akhirah, meaning when that person is in a state where the person is dying, then angels with dark black faces will descend, who will have with them a shroud of harsh material from the Jahannam. Then Malakul Maut will come down, and he will sit next to that soul and will say, you evil soul, come out to the anger of Allah and His wrath. The soul, out of fear, out of not wanting to leave, will disperse throughout the body trying to hide. But there is no way to hide. Malakul Maut will grab the soul and will pull it out, will drag it out. And Rasulullah said, the soul will come out like a branch of thorns being dragged out of a ball of wet wool. This will tear the muscles and tear the nerves of the person with terrible pain. Right? It will be shredded. As soon as the soul comes out, the angels jump up and wrap it in the kafan from Jahannam, and it has a stinking, rotten smell. The soul is taken up again. Whenever they pass a group of angels, they curse it and they ask whose it is, and the angels carrying it call it by its worst names. And when they reach the gates of the first heaven, the guards refuse to open the gate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, throw it down to the lowest earth, and the soul will be thrown down in disgrace. Now, point to remember here is that while all of this is happening, both these cases, the good one and the bad one, the people around have no idea that this is happening. Many a time I have heard people saying, oh, so-and-so passed away, talking about a person who was not a Muslim, was not a believer, and he passed away so peacefully. He did not pass away peacefully. He could not have passed away peacefully. Because this is what happens. This is what Rasulullah told us happens. But we don't see that. People around do not see that. And this is from the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is from that which is in unperceivable. And if people who are in this world, if they were able to perceive that, then there is no test in life. Right? And this life is for test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deliberately hidden these things as far as death is concerned. We do see people dying, but we do not see and we do not know what state they die in. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmat and his wisdom in showing some things or not showing something, and allowing some things to remain hidden. I remind you, my brothers and sisters, that the qabr, about the grave, whenever Sayyidina Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu would pass by a grave, he would weep. And they asked him, when you hear about the accounts of Jannah and Jahannam, it does not affect you as you are affected when you remember the grave. What is the reason? And he said, I heard Rasulullah saying, the qabr is the first stage of the stages of the akhirah. If you make it through that, whatever comes after it will be easier. And if you do not make it through that, then whatever comes after it will be worse. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the difficulties and the azab of the qabr. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the qubur of all the Muslims who died till today and all those who are going to die from today till the day of judgment. We ask Allah to make the qubur, the graves of all those Muslims, wasi and wide and like gardens from the gardens of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate those graves with His nur and to remove the darkness and to remove the suffering and to cancel all the adab for all of the Muslims who died till today and who will die from today until the day of judgment. We ask Allah to forgive all of them. And we say, Ya Rab, there is not, this earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. Out on that earth, out of that earth, Muslims are less than 1/5. We take your name, we worship you, Ya Rab. We are not perfect. We make mistakes, we commit sins, but we make istighfar, we make tawbah, we ask you for your mercy. Please have mercy on us. Please forgive us. Rasulullah said, of all the horrific things that I have seen and been shown, the grave is the most horrific. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the realities of these things on us and on our hearts, so that we do not fall into the trap of shaitan, who tries to constantly make us forget the reality of life. There was an old woman who used to clean the masjid of Nabawi Sharif. This lady used to clean the masjid, and one night she passed away, and the Sahaba, they did her ghusl and so on and janaza, and they buried her and they did not wake up Rasulullah. A couple of days later he asked about her. They told her that she had passed away. He got angry. He said, why didn't you tell me that she had died? And then he said, take me to her grave. So he then went to her grave and he prayed for her forgiveness. Then he said, the graves are dark, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will illuminate them because of my salah, because of my dua. He said, if anyone would have been spared the squeezing of the grave, it would have been Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, but he also was squeezed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. Because this is something that's only and only possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. It's His mercy that we really, that we need. Nothing more. If we have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, everything will be easy, and we ask Allah for that. Then let me talk to you about the fitnatul qabr, the test and trials of the grave. Two angels, their names are Munkar and Nakir, will descend on the person, and they will ask him in a very harsh way. They will scream at him. They are not polite. They will ask him very, very harshly. The question they will ask him is, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? Ma Deenuk? What is your Deen? And then they will say, what do you say about the man who was sent among you? Now, that's the thing. That's three questions. The problem is that These are not questions that you can mug up the answers to. For example, Manrabuk, Rabbi Allah, who's your Rabb? Allah is my Rabb. My Deen, what's your Deen? Deen Islam. My Deen is Islam. What do you say about the person who was sent among you? He was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the Rasul of Allah, the Nabi, the last of them. And I was his follower. Now, this is very simple. But that is not how it works. The problem is that the answers will come and happen according to what we did, not according to what we try to memorize. We will not be able to give all the clever answers that we give in the dunya. The believers, they will say, as I mentioned, Rabbi Allah, Deeni Islam, Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَرَأَتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. I read the book, Allah is my Rabb, my Deen is Islam, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Nabi is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَرَأَتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. I read the book of Allah and I believe in it and I bear witness to it that it is the truth. And then a voice from above will say, أَنْ صَدَّقَ أَبْدِي. My slave has spoken the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this for us. Furnish his grave from the Jannah and provide him clothes from the Jannah and open a door for him to the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verifies the and certifies the answers of the slave. And the grave is connected to Jannah. Then a very handsome person will walk into the grave. The believer will say, who are you? The person will say, I am your good deeds. And I have come to spend time with you until the day of judgment. Then the believer will be shown Jannah through the window and he will be told that will be your place. And then he will be shown Jahannam through another window and will be told that could have been your place, but you have been saved from it by the mercy of Allah. By the mercy of Allah and by what you used to do. The believer will say, Ya Rabbi, Aqimis Sa'ah, O my Rabb, establish the hour so that I can go to my family and my wealth in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and we ask Allah to make it easy for us. For the munafiq, the kafir, the fajr, the mushrik, he will say, I believe what people used to say. And an announcement will be made from the heavens, an kadzab, he is a liar. Furnish his grave from Jahannam and give him clothes from Jahannam and open a door for him to the Jahannam. Then an evil and ugly person will enter his grave who has a stinking rotten smell. The person will say, who are you? That person will say, the one who came into his grave will say, I am your evil deeds and I will be with you until the day of judgment. Then two windows will be opened. He will show his place in Jahannam and he will be shown the Jannah and be told, you could have been there, but you chose not to do so by your evil deeds. I remind myself and you that it is our choices. Allah does not force the Jannah onto anybody and Allah does not force the Jahannam onto anybody. In this life, we have been given the power to choose. Whatever we choose, we get. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayh, he says this in his Kitab al-Ruh about the time of death. When somebody dies, the angel of death comes to take his soul no matter where he is. The dying person sees him, hears him, and speaks to him, but not with his eyes, his ears, or his tongue. How then? He says, I do not know exactly. All I know is that when he begins to move to another world, he sees, hears, and speaks by some means which we, the living, do not perceive. Because you might say, well, you know, these questions are in Arabic. I don't know Arabic. Doesn't matter. They are being asked, and you will answer. Depending on our actions, we will answer. After the soul is taken, if it's a pure soul and has relatives in the next world who are people of the garden of Jannah, they come to meet the soul with yearning and great joy. Then they ask the soul about the condition of those who are still alive in this world. Which also shows us that the people who have died, they have no connection with this world, they don't know what's going on here. They are not seeing you, they are not affecting you, they are not helping you or hindering you in any way. We don't believe in ghosts, we don't believe in being haunted. None of those things. We don't believe in reincarnations because none of this is true. You live once, you die once. That's it. Once you are dead, you don't come back. The angels then bear the soul from one jannah to until it comes to the one heaven to the next one until it comes to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it is returned and sees the washing of the body and its shrouding in the funeral procession, and it says, take me forward, quickly, quickly. Or it will say, where are you taking me? But the people cannot hear this. A good person will say, take me, let me go quickly, because I want to get into my grave, then I will go into Jannah. But the other person knows now that Jannah is not for them, that they are going to be punished. So they say, where are you taking me? But obviously, people cannot hear this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you could hear these things, then you would stop burying your people. You would not be able to do any funeral. You would be so frightened. When the believer is about to depart from this world and go forward into the next world, angels with faces as bright as the sun descend from the Jannah and they sit around him. And as I explained to you all of that, which Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayh, he also mentioned this. My brothers and sisters, the whole thing is to live our lives in a way that is a benefit and of value for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In about the life in the Al-Alam al-Barzakh, which is the life of the grave behind the wall, Shaykh Muhammad Saleh al-Munajjid, Hafiz Abdullah, he said the man's life is divided into three sections. The life of this world, which ends with death, the life in Al-Barzakh, which starts after death and ends when the hour is established, when the day of judgment is established, and the third is the life of the hereafter, which begins after the people are raised from their graves and is spent either in Jannah, and we ask Allah for His bounty, or in Jahannam, we seek refuge from the life of from the punishment of Jahannam. As the poet, Urdu poet, he said, the thing to understand here is that death is not the name for the cessation or ending of life, but the transfer from one state of life into another, right? That's why in Urdu we call it intiqal, muntaqil hona. Is alam se us alam. To maut zindagi ke khatam hone ka naam nahi hai, balki ikhtiyar ke khatam hone ka naam hai. The death is not the name for the ending of life. Death is the name for the ending of choice. We have until we face death to choose what we want to do and what we want to avoid. Once we face Malakul Maut, then this choice ends. And after that, we will only see the results of the choices that we made. This is a very, very important thing to understand, and this is the problem with this confusion, where we don't use the time when we have to choose, and we think that somehow we will be given Jannah. There's no somehow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way of earning Jannah. Narrated Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, we went out with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accompanying the janazah of a man of the Ansar. When we reached the cemetery, his grave had not yet been dug. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down, and we also sat down around him, very still, as if there were birds perched on our heads. He's saying this adab of the sahaba, didn't fidget and move around. He sat very very still and in a very dignified way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a stick in his hand with which he was scratching the ground. He then raised his head and said, seek refuge with Allah from the punishment in the grave. He said this three times or four times. Seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. The version of Jabir radiallahu anhu adds here, he hears the beat of their sandals when they go back. And at that moment he is asked, oh so and so, who is your Rabb and what is your religion and who is your Prophet? So he's saying that when the grave is dug and so on, when people go away, the dead person is able to hear the sound of their footsteps. In Hanaz radiallahu anhu's version, he says two angels will come to him and make him sit up and ask him, who is your Rabb? And his reply will be, my Rabb is Allah. And they will say, what is your religion? And he will say, my religion is Islam. And they will say, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? And he will say, he is the messenger of Allah. And then they will ask, how did you know this? Who made you aware of this? And he will reply, I read Allah's book and believed in it and considered it to be true, which is verified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. When Allah said, Allah's book believed in it and considered it true, which is verified by Allah's word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes those who believe with a word that stands firm in this world and the next. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْعَيَاتِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ The agreed version of this is when a crier will call from Jannah, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread a bed for him from Jannah and clothe him from Jannah and open a door for him from Jannah and some of its air and perfume will come to him and a space will be made for him as far as the eyes can see. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu for this and for his bounty and for his mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.